May the love of Jesus Christ fill your heart and be with you all your days. Amen? Amen. Good morning, everyone. I am Deacon Bob. And on behalf of our pastor and very fine celebrant this morning, Father Mario, we welcome all of you to St. Cyril, regardless of whether you are streaming at home or sitting here in the pews. We are all connected as brothers and sisters in Christ. To anyone visiting with us online or here in person, please know you are always welcome at St. Cyril. Recent events have pushed the ugliness of racism to a high level of public consciousness and visibility. As I have preached before, racism in any form, committed by any skin color or culture, whether it is physically violent or not, is wrong. All of racism is a sin. Racism says part of God's creation is defective and inferior simply because of skin color. As Christians, we are compelled by our faith to regard every human life with respect, regardless of skin color. To not respect all life is to dismiss Scripture as irrelevant and to hold God and His truth in contempt. Amen? Now, unfortunately, some of the other behavior stemming from racism's ugliness has also shown contempt for God and His truth. Moral outrage and a willingness to work to overcome racism is needed and desired. But the criminal violence, the looting, the arson, the vandalism, the anarchy in multiple cities, hiding itself behind true moral outrage over racism, is just as wrong and just as sinful in the eyes of God. Now, this sinfulness includes not only those who directly participate in the street violence, but it also includes those who encourage and condone the violence because it fits their political narrative and their purpose. And this includes many public figures, from Hollywood to some politicians to many in the media. You know, understand in reality, it was only a couple of Roman soldiers who inflicted the horrific violence on Jesus at the end of his earthly life. But all those who desired and condoned his brutal whipping and his crucifixion, they share in the sin of that violence. They were just as guilty as those whose hands actually held the whip, the hammer, and the nails. And that same collective guilt, that applies here today to those who promote or pardon the violence, or refuse to stop it when it is within their power to do so. Amen? Now, I've also seen several instances in national media where the justification given for the recent protest violence can be based on Jesus Christ. Nothing, and I mean nothing, could be farther from the truth. The correlation they try to make is to the cleansing of the temple by Jesus. Now, in that story, Jesus uses a whip to drive out the animals and the money changers out of the temple, and he overturns their tables. Now, many interpret this story as revolving solely around anger. That is incorrect. For the word anger never appears in any of the gospel accounts of this story. This story is about Jesus being the new temple. Sinful behavior and animal sacrifices in the old temple will be replaced by the sinless behavior and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, atoning for all sins. That old temple, it's coming down, for Jesus is the new, perfect, holy temple. This story indicates the post-resurrection replacement of the temple by the person of Jesus. To connect street violence and looting and arson with this gospel story is a horrible, twisted misuse of Scripture. Nothing in the words or actions of Jesus should ever be used to justify burning down a Wendy's or destroying and looting a Nike or Verizon store. I urge all those who push this kind of nonsense to not manipulate the gospel of Jesus Christ for your personal agendas and your political narratives. Amen. You know, as Christians, it's our duty to call out racism. It's also our duty to call out the sinfulness of wanton violence and destruction of other people's property. Now, when we do this, however, many of those who are ignorant of Scripture will accuse us of standing in judgment. And they will typically quote something, some variation, from Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Now, in these verses, Jesus instructs, "As you judge, so will you be judged. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye when you have that wooden plank in your own eye?" The conclusion they're trying to draw from the twisting of the Scripture is, "You are so sinful. How dare you talk to someone else about sinful behavior?" Now, why are they quick to throw out some version of verses 1 through 4? What they are missing is verse 5. Listen to this verse as Jesus continues on and he says, "You hypocrite, remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter from your brother's eye." So you see straight from Jesus, this is a two-step process. Examine and clean yourself first. Then you can speak to the sins of the world. In essence, do not call out racism in someone when you are a racist. First, make your own heart clean. Make it pure of racism. Do not judge others as violent when you are violent, or you condone and promote violence. But first, make sure your heart is peaceful. You know, in Scripture, in God's very word, we are commanded often to call out sinful behavior. Ephesians chapter 5 tells us, "Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them." Now, we have to be a little careful here, for we should be mindful that when we do call out sin, we are to do so with a Christian attitude. From Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, "If a person is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should correct that one in a gentle spirit." And then from Luke 17, 3, Jesus says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him." So as the body of Christ, the Catholic community cannot remain silent on the evil of violence and destructive behavior any more than we can remain silent on the evil of racism. Both must be called out to stand in the light of Christ and be exposed, and then stand before the absolute truth and judgment of God Almighty. Amen? Amen. You know, life in general can be very stressful. At times, fear and anxiety plays a part just in that general stress. Now we have the added anxiety coming from us from so many different directions. Stress from COVID-19, self-quarantine, working from home, no school, economic difficulties, racism, violence, and anarchy in the streets. It can be easy then to overload on all that is happening and become filled with anxiety, filled to the point where the Christian life we are all called to live becomes secondary and is lost in the stress and anxiety. So to counter that, I ask you to take today's gospel from Matthew. Take it completely to heart. Jesus tells us in several ways, regardless of what is happening, do not be afraid. Know that God is watching over you. Know the value that God puts on you. Do not deny Jesus. Continue to acknowledge that He is Lord and Savior. So in this most stressful and unique period of time, I encourage all of you, walk with God in all that you do. Build yourself up with prayer in the Holy Spirit. Do not be afraid to call out evil. Speak His holy truth to the world. And then be fully confident that by the bloody cross of Jesus Christ, you shall be delivered from the trials of today and from those still to come. Thank you, Saint Cyril. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.